This is part two. The title was Dial Up Your Desire. Do you desire spiritual gifts? God says we are to desire them. They won't just fall on us. We have a part to play. So, how many were not here last week? Where were you? Okay, I forgive you. You're welcome. So we kind of went over the history of 1 Corinthians, and it was 1 Corinthians because that's the book that talks the most about the spiritual gifts, and especially about tongues. And so we learned about the Corinthian church, what kind of condition they were in, what beliefs they came out of, and basically what a mess they were. Chapter 1 through chapter 11 just talks about all the issues Paul had to deal with in the church. So it doesn't take a perfect church to have gifts of the Spirit, because he started out saying, you guys flow in the gifts all the time. This church, this imperfect church, had the gifts of the Spirit flowing through them. So are you ready for a little more on the gifts of the Spirit? Okay. Thank you, Father. You gave us gifts. After salvation, you gave us more. You are totally amazing. What a giver. And Lord, we all have your gifts. Would you help us to desire to operate in them, to desire them to flow through us? They're not just to entertain us, but they're for us to do what Jesus did when he was here. So Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you will, by your Holy Spirit, stir up desire within this people sitting right here today, including me, a greater desire for more of you. And I thank you. I thank you so much that you gave us gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. So before we get down to the nitty-gritty of the gifts, let's talk about, do you know what it is to be a Spirit-filled believer? Okay, then I will answer this for you. Acts chapter 1, verse 5. Now, I want you to think about this. Jesus rose from the dead. And when he met with his disciples shortly after he rose from the dead, he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. See, they believed in him as the Lord. They believed God raised him from the dead. That's the qualifications to being born again. And then he said, receive the Holy Spirit. But now before he's going to heaven, he said, not only did I want you to receive it, but in verse 5, he said, John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. In verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So they got born again of the Spirit, and now he said, there's more. I want you to have power. Jesus operated in power, didn't he? And we often attribute that to, well, after all, he's God, you know. He was a man filled with the Spirit of God. And that is what he has given to us. That's the power. And baptism is being immersed into something. So he wanted them to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. Not just to be born of, but to be immersed in. That's the Holy Spirit. That's a Spirit-filled life. And then chapter 2 of Acts, I just want to read the first four verses because this is the first time it happened. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each one, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is what happened when they got filled. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the Spirit gave them this language. They had to move their tongue, and they had to speak. And I want to cover today some of the issues that we have, or maybe people you know have, about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, about the gifts flowing. So you may even be filled with the Holy Spirit but can't defend it by the word. So you might be sharing, you know, with a friend somewhere, and they'll ask you questions, and you'll just go, I don't know, they just teach me that at church, I believe it. We can be smarter than that. And he wants us to be smarter than that. One of the questions that I was raised with was, actually it wasn't a question, it was a statement. This was for then. This was for that day when there were in Jerusalem all these people with speaking all different languages, and that is why they got to speak in other languages, so everybody could hear their own language. And there's some people, and then they went on to teach that we don't need that anymore. That was just for then, and that was the main purpose of it. So is that the truth? We have to be able to answer that. So the purpose of tongues in this chapter of Acts, chapter 2, it would look like it was just to meet the need of all the different people with all the different languages and dialects that were in Jerusalem at the time, which it did meet that need. And you know, the disciples at the time, they were Jewish. They thought the gifts of the Spirit and this was for them. They thought when they would read Joel that said there's going to be the pouring spearing. You got to translate that. When the Spirit is poured out on all flesh, they didn't realize it meant the whole world. They thought it was just the Jewish people. You know, we can all be so narrow-minded and think we're all that there is. But there is so much more. So if we flip over to Acts chapter 10, this is when they find out it's not just for the Jews. And it shocked them. They didn't quite know what to do with it. So let's see, Acts 10 verse 44 through 46. The Holy Spirit told Peter to go talk to Cornelius, that Cornelius had been praying and that Peter was to explain to him about Jesus. And so Peter knew Cornelius was a Gentile, and he said, I'm not going to do that. They're unclean. I'm certainly not going to do that. But the Holy Spirit worked with him and talked him into it and said, no, we want you to go do this. So Peter said, okay. You know, when the Holy Spirit tells us to do something, whether we like it or not, whether you argue with him or not, hopefully you eventually give in, because he's always right. Always, always. So Peter explained to Cornelius and his family about Jesus. And verse 44 says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those that heard the word, and those of the circumcision, the Jews, who believed, they were astonished that the same gift as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles. The Jews there were going, you're kidding me. This is not just for Jews. Are you sure? Are you sure the Holy Spirit should be on them too? They're not Jewish. And they, you know how they knew those Gentiles had been, the Holy Spirit had been poured out on them? Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So that is the first manifestation you and I will have, is the speaking of tongues. And some people are taught, as I had been taught after I got through with the, it's not just for then, it's for now too. Well, really? Do we really need to do this? I can praise the Lord without that. I don't need to speak in another language. why in the world would God want us to speak in another language to magnify him? I listened to the songs today, and it talks about his love and about open the eyes and of our wonder that we can see how you are. And every time you get a glimpse, I'm going to tell you, there's no words. It is beyond your words, where you can say every word you know, and yet you feel there's still more to say. But when you start praising him in tongues, there's something in you that is so fulfilled, because it is the Spirit of God that's praying through you. And the Spirit of God, he's going, I knew him when. I knew him when there was no earth. That's when I knew him. I knew him when. I knew him when he wasn't even a twinkle in his mother's eye. I knew him. You think, we're going to get truth out of here. But from the Holy Spirit, he can take that truth and blow it up and magnify it for us. Do you need it? I need it. We all need it. That's what the Spirit wants to do. He wants to magnify God through us and through words. Why in the world through words? Because Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Wow. We can speak words of life more powerful than any words of life you and I can come up with in our own thinking. Words are so powerful. Do you know how powerful? Words can kill you. They can slice you and dice you, and somebody can say the right word to you, and it can mess you up for years and years and years, because it will pierce and go right to your heart. And God says, I want my people to speak my heart, my words. And that's what he gave us to do. So now, but did they always get tongues? Is that really, was it possible that it was just for the beginning? I had to answer that for me, because I had been taught that. And I want you to know, this passage in Acts was about 5 years after Pentecost. So it was still happening then. That's something to think about, isn't it? Now, if you go over to Acts 19, and this is roughly 20 years after Pentecost. Well, certainly, if it was just for that meeting at Pentecost, certainly the same thing wouldn't be happening, because there would be no need for it. And certainly, why would the Lord give it to like one little family of Cornelius? It's just his family. It wasn't like there were people from all over the world there. But yet he did. And in Acts 19 is when Paul is now going to Ephesus. He had not been there before. And he found a few disciples. So he's a smart guy. So he thought, I better find out what they believe. Have you guys been baptized? And yet we've been baptized into John's baptism of repentance. So he knew they didn't really even fully understand Jesus, that John was before Jesus and making the way for Jesus. So he taught them, and then he baptized them in water in the name of Jesus. And then it said, let's see, let's read verse 4. Paul said, John baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, then they had believed, because they were baptized in the name of Jesus. You know, it doesn't take much to get, if somebody believes, you know how long it takes them to get saved? They believe Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead. We sometimes make it really, really hard. He did not make it really, really hard. But if you have to believe it in your heart. So after he now baptized them in the name of Jesus, now it says in verse 6, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. And what did they do? They spoke with tongues and prophesied. The same thing as at the beginning. And this is 20 years later. So could it be possible it was only just for the beginning? No. Absolutely not. We have to know that, because people are going to ask that, because I know that I'm not the only one that was taught that. And you're going to run into people. This will help you to defend your beliefs. You know, we always have to be able to give an account for the hope that's in us, to what we believe. And I'm just so amazed at myself, at everybody else. We believe a lot of things because we've been taught, not because the Word says so. And I've challenged you with this before, and I'm going to do it again until you all get in your Bible. When you know you firmly believe something, say, why do I believe that? Can I go to my Bible and find that belief in there, find that teaching in there? It's a good challenge. It gets you digging in the Word, and it will open up to you. You know what? Part of what you were taught was right. Part of it was wrong. Do you want half-truths? Half-truths aren't truths. When we go to minister the Word in truth, and we go to the Father and pray His Word, what if it's not His Word? What if it's just some wrong teaching? Then we wonder, why do my prayers not get answered? It's so important that we know why we believe what we believe. We're living in a day and age that we really need to be able to defend our beliefs. And just to say, Pastor so-and-so, teacher so-and-so, the guy on TV said, is not enough. But when you say Jesus said, now you've got something. So 20 years after Pentecost, they're still getting immersed with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and prophesying. So now, was tongues just for that first time? Just to prove to you you got the Holy Spirit? Because I know many, many people that received the Holy Spirit, received that baptism, spoke with tongues, and quit. Because they just quit. Why do people do? Take one step on the treadmill and say, okay, that's enough for me, I exercised. They quit. Why did we speak in tongues once and quit and not continue to use it? Sometimes it's because we were never taught and we just don't know. So that's what this is for. So you will never again have that excuse after today. You're going to want to go home and pray in tongues. You are. You are. And you say, well, I sound so silly. I know. I remember when I started doing it, I said, Lord, this is ridiculous. Come on. This is really a gift from you. And you really want me to like do this? And you say, if I speak in this language I don't know, I'm saying words I do not understand, that it is going to build me up in my faith. There's got to be another way, right? But I finally got to the conclusion, if he said it, there's a reason. And I better do it because he's smarter than I am. I know it's a shock. He is way smarter. And he's way smarter than you, and any reason you have not to do it, he is smarter. So now we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about all the gifts of the Spirit, just briefly. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about walking in love. And then 1 Corinthians 14 is about tongues, prophecy, and interpretation. And it covers to give us the understanding of private tongues versus like in a meeting like this. If somebody speaks out loud in tongues, you wonder. It's confusing unless you understand. He's making the difference. That's the way Paul would teach. He would make a statement, and then he would explain it, and then he'd make another statement, and then he would explain it. It's just the kind of a teacher that he was. So, this church of Corinth, and now they're somewhere between 15 to 18 years after Pentecost, and they're a church that flows in the gifts, and he takes a whole chapter on tongues. He does not take a whole chapter on discerning of spirits, healings, miracles, any of that. He takes a whole chapter on tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. Do you think it's important?
Yes.
Just looking, when I saw that, I thought, I better pay up, pay attention here. So 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Pursue love. Desire. Be zealous for, it means, to pursue ardently, eagerly, with intensity, spiritual gifts, but especially that you will prophesy. And you say, what's prophecy? If you give Paul a minute, he'll explain it here. Verse 2, for he who speaks in a tongue doesn't speak to men, but to God. Oh, I don't have to worry about if it sounds silly to you or not. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to God when I do this. No one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. That definition for mysteries is he speaks the counsels of God. Wow. I can speak such wisdom in tongues that I could never do in English. But who am I talking to? I'm talking to God. Well, doesn't he already know this stuff? I mean, do you not don't think of these questions? But he'll answer them all here. He who prophesies, that would be speaking in your language, your known language, speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. That's the purpose of prophecy. In this context, this is not like a prophet foretelling the future. This is edification, exhortation, and comfort within the body. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Ah, so it's all about you. Yes, it is. And God knew we needed it at times to be all about us, that we needed to pray. And our own language just couldn't do it justice. So he put his Spirit in us, and he said, if you'll just give voice to my Spirit, he will pray for you a most perfect prayer. Let me tell you, if you were sick and a famous healing minister came to church, and all these other people, and you were sick, who do you want to pray for you? You want the healing minister. If you need finances and you know somebody that just prays for people to be blessed with finances and voila, it happens, who do you want to pray for you? That one. How about if the Spirit of God prayed for you? Is that not better than anything else you could get?
Yes.
Wow. That's a gift he's given us. And we go, well, you know, it sounds silly. I don't really want to do it. Well, this is what I got to say. Get over yourself. It's so good for you. You will love it. You will love it when you see its benefits. So, he who speaks to a tongue speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. And then he says, and this verse used to throw me for a loop, I wish you all spoke with tongues. I would read that and go, so everybody obviously doesn't get it, or he wouldn't be wishing they all spoke with tongues. Until I looked up the definition of the word wish. And it denotes that the person he's wishing it for has a choice. You have a choice, and I have a choice. And what he would really be saying here by definition is, I would like you all to do this, to delight in, to take pleasure in. This is what I want, in tongues. This is what I want for you. So he had to have people in this church that flowed in the gifts that didn't want to speak in tongues, but he's saying, please, do this. And you know why a leader would tell their people to do it? Because it builds them up. And you need to be built up. I need to be built up. Every one of us. Now he goes on to say, but even more than tongues, I wish that you all prophesied, gave exhortation, edification, and comfort. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with a tongue. And I used to go, aha, see? It's not that important. Unless he interprets that the church may receive edification. And what's happening here, he's talking about within a church function, within a meeting like this. It's not just you alone. That if If I walked up to you and just started speaking in tongues instead of speaking in English, you wouldn't have a clue what I was saying. But if I prophesied, you would. So in a meeting like this, prophecy is more important to be speaking out unless we're in worship and we're each praising the Lord with our tongue, because prophecy doesn't need an interpretation. And the whole church gets edified when a prophetic word comes forth. Now, I must say, I don't know if I'm going to get to the end of the chapter or not, but just in this church, if you feel from the Holy Spirit that you have a word to give, you need to give it to the pastor first. And he will say, yes, it's for now, or no, it is not for now. We just don't just stand up and start shouting it. So do that. Even if you have, you just overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit and you're praying in tongues and you're thinking, I got to give this. This is for the whole church. Unless you can interpret, you have to be quiet. Or you know somebody that can. But even then, you speak with the pastor first, because he's the one that will decide. The pastor will decide if this should be spoken now or not. Now, at your home Bible studies, your fellowship groups, when you get together, practice flowing in the Spirit. Do it. Will you get it right all the time? I've never known anybody that has. Will you sound silly? Yeah. Will you be okay sounding silly? Yeah, you'll be okay. What you'll find out is how God wants to speak through you. Now, sometimes you'll think you sound silly, but you'll have a particular word for a particular person that will change their life, that if you didn't give it, they wouldn't know it. That's one reason why we want to flow in the gifts. But practice in your small groups, in your families, when you get together. Just start praying together and just see what you start sensing. And you might not even know what's happening. Well, I'm kind of feeling like, well, if it's not ungodly, if it's not unbiblical, go with what you're feeling like and let the rest of the people, they will judge you and say, you know, that was really off, or that was really great. But we have to learn somehow. And the small groups, your small fellowship times are a really good time to do that. So now, let's go on. Verse 6 through 11, I'm not going to take the time to read that, but this is all about why we need an interpretation for a tongue. That's what this is about. That's in a group setting like this. But let's go on to verse 12. This is why we should desire spiritual gifts. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. It's not for you personally. Like, wow, he's pretty spiritual. He spoke with tongues. He gave a word. He's pretty spiritual. You know, he had a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. They must be something else. That's not what it's for. It's to build up the whole body as a whole. We are each individual parts, and each part is so important, but as a whole, we need to be built up, because God has a plan for this group right here to accomplish something in this town right here, right now. It wasn't 10 years ago, and I don't know what's in 10 years in the future, but for now, and it might come through a word of prophecy, and it's to build up the group. So, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. So, if you know you've never interpreted and the Lord hasn't prompted you with anything except the tongue, you're going to have to be quiet. For, he says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. So, you can pray in tongues doing all kinds of things, your business, around your house, going for a walk, whatever you're doing, And it will build you up in the spirit. But your mind will go, it's not engaged in this. I had a call this week from somebody that said, well, when I'm praying in tongues, I want to do this, but do I have to be like at home on my knees seeking the Lord like that? And there's a time for that. If the Lord puts somebody on your heart, something you're interceding for, and you might have spoken all the words you know about a situation in English, and you're going to go into praying in tongues, and you probably don't want to be doing other things at the time because you're just focused on the issue that you're bringing to the Father. But I'm telling you, you can wash your car and pray in tongues. You can vacuum and pray in tongues. Does it really do anything? Many years ago, when I married to my first husband, who was a non-believer, I was scheduled to go to some meeting at church that I don't remember now what it was. It was a Saturday, and he left the house by boat. We didn't live too far from Lake Michigan, and you could get right out the little bayou under a bridge down the river, and you're in Lake Michigan fishing. So him and a neighbor left to go fishing, and I'm getting ready to go to my meeting, and the Holy Spirit says, now I want you to stay home today. Is this the Lord? This is a meeting for church. Is this the Lord? So I really had to question, but I had no peace to leave. So I said, okay, I'll stay home. What do you want me to do? He said, pray in the Spirit. I said, okay. I mean, it's like 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. So I just did my regular Saturday stuff. Vacuuming, went out, cut the grass, trimmed the bushes, played with the dogs, the cat, did all my stuff. All the while, I'm just praying in the Spirit. And sometimes it would get more intense than others, but all the while, and if I quit, the Holy Spirit would remind me, pray in tongues, don't stop, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. And I never asked the Lord what I was praying for, because all he said is pray in tongues, so I just kept doing it. And about, 1:30 or so in the afternoon, so I'd been praying in tongues a long time. The boat comes up to the dock, only my husband's not driving it, just his friend is. And all the neighbors from down the street that saw it, they were already there. What happened? What happened? What happened? What happened to Robert? What happened to Robert? Why isn't he here? So I went out there, and his friend says, now don't worry. He's at the hospital, but everything's okay. And I had this peace. You see, I'd gotten built up in my faith, just praying in tongues, not even knowing what I was praying for. And I said, so what happened? And he said, well, he cut his fingers off. I went, oh, okay. Apparently, they're out fishing somewheres away from, long ways away from shore, and the engine quit. And now Robert's a mechanic and knew how to fix things, and this was not it. But he knew that. He found out, like, the pulley on the fan belt wasn't turning, so he thought, well, I'll just give that fan belt a crank. He did that, and it caught so fast, it took those fingers, the fingers off. Well, he had enough presence of mind to fish the fingers out of the bottom of the engine compartment, stick his hand and the fingers in the cooler with the fish and the ice, and his friend drove the boat to the Coast Guard station. They called the ambulance and got him over to the hospital. And so I went to the hospital, and I said, Robert, oh my gosh, are you okay? And his fingers now were sewed back on. They cleaned him up. They didn't even smell like fish. And I said, what in the world happened? And so he told me the same story his friend did. And I said, you're not going to believe this. Now, I know I had told you before, he always called God Orville because he couldn't really relate with God. And I said, Orville said, don't go to your meeting, stay home and pray. So I've been praying since you left this morning. And in his sarcastic, arrogant little way, he said, oh yeah? Then why did this happen? That was a good question. But you know, having prayed in the Holy Spirit all that time, he gave me the answer. And I said, did you not know that was a bad thing to do? Yeah, he said, but I thought I should do it. And I said, did you hear a little voice saying don't do that? And he said, yeah. I said, that was horrible. He went, oh. I said, he will not override your free will, ever. Oh, okay. So, you know, what would have happened had I not been praying in the Holy Spirit? I don't know, but I don't think it would have been too good for him. It could have been very dangerous, losing all that blood way out there. I don't know. I have no idea, but I wasn't focusing on any particular issue. I was just doing what I was told, praying in the Holy Ghost. You can do it anytime, all the time. Just ask him to remind you, because it's not natural for us to do it. It's just not a natural thing. So you have to kind of create a habit, like do it every time you get in the car, or if you're a walker or a jogger, do it then. Do it sometime. If you have to just set your timer in the morning when you get up for 10 minutes, I'm going to pray in tongues for 10 minutes. Do that, and you will get used to doing it. It's just training yourself the same way you train yourself to exercise or do anything else that's good for you. It doesn't just, you know, sometimes we think spiritual things are just going to come like this, and it's because it's all supernatural, you know, but we have a part to play in all of this. So now, let's see. So, verse 15, Paul says, so, what's the conclusion? This is it. This is the conclusion he comes to after he listened to what it was he said. He said, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with understanding. So, we need to listen to how he worded it. Praying with the Spirit. He's talking about tongues. Some people wanted to say, no, praying with the Spirit is just, you got that unction, you got that, I just got to pray. No, praying with the Spirit, biblical terms, is praying in tongues. And he said, I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding. So we can do both. We should do both. Both are so important to us. Now, verse 18, he said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. I don't know if he meant he talked with tongues more than you all or he thanked more than you all. I think he meant both. The more you do it, it tunes your mind up to how God talks because he's talking through you. It tunes you up to hear his voice for when you need him to speak English to you about do something or don't do something. When you say, okay, Lord, I got this issue. Should I yes or no? Man, you'll get a yes or you'll get a no. And I have just discovered over time that the more I do it, the quicker the yes and the no come. The more I'm just tuned up. I feel like I've just had a tune-up. I got new parts. I'm ready to go. I'm firing on all cylinders. And that is what he wants us to live like that. But then he says in verse 19, after he said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all, but in church, I would rather speak so people can understand than 10,000 words in a tongue. Can you imagine what it would be like if our welcome team, they opened the door and, you know, first time somebody came that didn't know what tongues was, woo, they'd be gone the other way. They'd be out of here. That is why when we're in a group like this and we're all going to go out and have some lunch, we're going to speak in English to each other. Okay. Let's see. Oh, this is one of the awesome benefits. Hold your finger there in 1 Corinthians. I don't know how you hold your finger on a phone, but do it. And then flip over to Isaiah 28, verse 11 and 12. Because Paul is quoting Isaiah 28 in this passage in 1 Corinthians. And Isaiah 28 says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest, with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing.' Yet they would not hear." I used to read that in Isaiah, and I go, "What's he talking about? What is he talking about?" But when Paul uses that in this whole passage about tongues, you realize what he's talking about. Tongues will bring you a rest and a refreshing. Does anybody ever need just to be refreshed? You've had a day, maybe with a family, maybe with a job, maybe with cutting cats and dogs. You know, whatever it is your job is, and you've just had all you can take for whatever reason. Man, you've had a hard day. Go home and pray in tongues. Go home and just speak in tongues. Stand there in your kitchen or your shower or wherever you are and just speak in tongues. It does something for you. You need rest for your mind. You know, our minds can go really crazy with the things we all are so busy doing and multitasking, and you ever just need peace? Speak in tongues. Isaiah foretold it is a rest and it is a refreshing. Oh my goodness. And God said, "I saved you. You're going to come with me to heaven. I paid for all your sins. But while you're here on earth, you need help." He didn't just leave us alone. He said, "You're going to need rest. You're going to need refreshing. You're going to need to hear me. You're going to need to be built up in your faith. You're going to need to understand my love more." All of that comes from speaking in tongues. We want to fulfill as a body of believers here what the Lord has for us. This is going to help us each individually, so when we get together as a body, man, we're going to be flowing in some power together, all together. So I made a little list of what I thought the benefits were. Rest, refreshing, builds you up in faith, keeps you in the love of God, tunes up your hearing for the Lord, prays God's perfect will for you. It's the spirit of truth. Do you ever hope you don't get deceived by some goofy doctrine that's out there? Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. It will bring you comfort. Do you need comfort? Sometimes we all need comfort. Pray in tongues. It says in John, he tells us of things to come. The Holy Spirit will let you know ahead of time, sometimes with exact facts, and sometimes he just gets you so prepared that you can just walk into something and you go, "Wow, I'm ready for this." And you did nothing to get yourself ready except pray in tongues. It helps you in whatever you need help with. Whatever. Whatever. We're doing some little remodeling at home, and Mike's doing a lot of the plumbing, and I'll just hear him talking to somebody, and then I'll hear him talking in tongues, and I know he's just getting Holy Ghost help with doing this or doing that. How about glorifying the Father and the Son? You can do it to a point, but the Holy Spirit can do a lot better than you and I can ever think about doing. How would you like to know Jesus better? Yeah. He knows him personally. They're tight. He's got more experience with him than you and I will ever have. Wow. And it helps you to flow in the gifts when they're needed in your life. When you run into people that maybe need healing or a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, you need some spiritual discernment. You'll have that. You'll have that. It's the word is a two-edged sword, and the spirit that goes with the two-edged sword. They go together. They go together. You read the word, you pray in tongues. You've got power. You've got such power in your life that you've never had before. Jesus said, My words are spirit. If his words are spirit and I'm praying in the spirit and the spirit's praying through me, do you think I'm going to connect better than if I wasn't? Yes. Yes, I will. Wow. That's the gift he has for us. It's a gift we have to activate. He's given us everything. Even from the very first time when somebody prays with you for the gift, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have to move your own tongue. I used to think, I wish he'd say something through me. No, it's your tongue. You move it. The Spirit gives the words. You give it the voice. Now, if this hasn't made you want tongues, if you don't have it, come and talk to me. Because you're missing. You're missing. I don't want you to miss anything. I don't want you to miss. And you don't know what you don't know. You know, you think, I've done good without it. Praise God. Praise God, I'm glad you've done good without it. But you don't know what you missed if you would have used it. You do not know. You're going to get to heaven one day and go, I could have had that. That could have been happening in my life. Oh, what happened? You didn't speak. You're going to hear my voice. You didn't speak in tongues. I'll probably be right behind you grinning. So, could I have the prayer ministers come up? Now, if you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, our prayer ministers will be in agreement with you, and they will pray with you. Amen. And you will receive. Amen. You will receive. You will receive. Or if you have any other prayer requests, please come up and talk to one of them. Okay? Now, I have one more thing. David Horn, could you come up here a minute? And I need that little microphone. Tomorrow is a very special day at my house. Oh, it's my husband's birthday. Now, he and the Holy Spirit voted against cake. But I said, can I tell the people? He said, yeah, go ahead, you can tell them. So you might want to wish him a happy birthday. And David has a little song, a happy birthday song like I've not heard before. I thought it was very sweet from the Lord. So go for it, David.
I have something so to relate what you were saying. While I was vacuuming yesterday, I think the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and I was speaking in tongues. But then the Holy Spirit gave me something kind of light for Pastor Mike. Because I knew it was his birthday tomorrow, but at any rate. So this is something a little different. Hopefully, I think everyone will recognize the tune, and hopefully you'll enjoy it. So, so if anyone feels like joining in, feel free. So we wish you a happy birthday. We wish you a happy birthday. We wish you a happy birthday and God's blessings this year.
Thank you. Thank you.